A man sits in a cold Soviet bunker, strapped to a chair. Electrodes are glued to his temples, wires trailing into a machine humming with unnatural energy. Fluorescent lights flicker overhead, casting long, uneasy shadows on the concrete walls. He doesn't move. He doesn't speak. Because at this moment, his mind is no longer his own. In another room, a Soviet general sits at his desk, back straight, staring blankly ahead. His breathing is slow, methodical. His hands rest on the table, motionless. He too is waiting. A scientist steps forward. His coat is damp with sweat. His fingers tremble as they hover over a roll of dials. He closes his eyes and thinks a single thought. In the other room, the general's hand twitches. The scientist tightens his grip on the chair's armrests. His breath is shallow. He thinks another thought. The general stands up. His movements are slow, deliberate, like a puppet responding to invisible strings. He reaches for his pistol. The scientist's heartbeat pounds against his ribs. His hands are shaking now. A bead of sweat rolls down his temple, but he doesn't dare move. The general raises the pistol, presses it against his own temple. The scientist exhales, just a whisper of breath. His lips barely move. He mouths one word, "Niet," no. But the general doesn't blink. His finger tightens on the trigger. They called it the weapon to end all wars. During the Cold War, the world feared nuclear annihilation. The United States and the Soviet Union built enough warheads to end civilization 100 times over. But what if there was a deadlier weapon? A weapon that could eliminate free will without a single bullet being fired. Forget missiles, forget tanks. The Soviets wanted something far more dangerous. A machine that could control the human mind. In the 1960s, both the United States and the Soviet Union were running classified experiments on the human brain. The CIA had MKUltra, testing mind control through LSD and psychological torture. But the Soviets, they had something else. They believed that the brain was just another electrical system. And if electricity could be manipulated, so could thoughts, emotions, even actions. The idea was simple and terrifying. What if you could broadcast thoughts into someone else's mind? What if you could make them feel emotions that weren't theirs? What if you could make them obey a command without ever speaking a word? The KGB was obsessed with the idea of psychotronic warfare. They wanted a way to break enemies without interrogation, to influence foreign leaders, to turn prisoners of war into obedient operatives. And most terrifying of all, they wanted to create the perfect soldier. A human weapon who couldn't question orders, because he didn't even realize he had been given one. And that's where the psychotronic generator comes in. Officially, the Soviet Union never admitted to building a psychotronic machine. But declassified reports, defector testimonies, and leaked documents tell a different story. The psychotronic generator, or as some called it, the mind weapon, was allegedly designed to manipulate brainwaves at a distance. A machine that could transmit thoughts, emotions, even commands directly into the minds of its targets. One document claims the machine could create synthetic telepathy. That means hearing a voice inside your head, but it's not your own.
Oh, great, because hearing my own thoughts isn't exhausting enough. Let's add government brain hijacking to the mix.
You joke, but imagine waking up one day and suddenly feeling an overwhelming urge to do something you normally wouldn't, and you have no idea why. Some accounts claim test subjects felt emotions that weren't their own, that they suddenly felt paranoia, fear, or rage, as if someone had flipped a switch in their mind.
Right. And I'm sure they also had a machine that let you see the future and talk to your dead grandma. Governments love throwing cash at nonsense.
Normally, I'd agree. But here's where it gets weird. The CIA's own documents show that the US took this threat very seriously. If this was nonsense, why was the US government panicking about it?
Because Cold War intelligence agencies had the critical thinking skills of a potato. Oh no, the Soviets are experimenting on hamsters. We better counter it with a $1 billion project on telepathic dolphins.
That's fair, but let's put it this way. When your biggest rival in world domination is dumping resources into something, you have to assume they know something you don't. By the 1970s, the Soviet Union was running at least 20 secret labs dedicated to electromagnetic mind control. Some of their research was leaked, some of it disappeared, and some of it may still be in use today. And this is where the story takes a disturbing turn. To understand how the Soviet psychotronic generator was supposed to work, we need to start with a simple fact. Your brain is just an electric circuit. Every thought you have, every movement you make, every emotion you feel, it's all just electrical impulses bouncing between neurons. And if the human brain is an electrical system, then, in theory, it can be hacked. The Soviets believed that if they could manipulate the electromagnetic field around a person's brain, they could interfere with those electrical signals. Control the signals, control the mind. This wasn't just speculation. Soviet scientists were already experimenting with extremely low frequency waves, ELF waves, radio waves that can penetrate the brain and alter brainwave activity. This is where the psychotronic generator comes in. According to leaked reports, the device was an array of antennas and oscillators designed to emit targeted electromagnetic pulses. It could be tuned to different frequencies, each one capable of inducing specific mental states. Delta waves, 0.5 to 4 Hz. Deep sleep, unconscious states. Theta waves, 4 to 8 Hz. Hypnosis, altered consciousness. Then you have alpha waves, 8 to 14 Hz, good for relaxation, suggestibility. Beta waves, 14 to 30 Hz, alertness, stress, anxiety. And then gamma waves, 30 plus Hz, heightened perception and panic.
So what you're saying is, they basically tried to turn human brains into radio stations, now broadcasting on Soviet mind control FM. Next up, uncontrollable paranoia, followed by a long nap.
That's actually not far off. They believed that with the right frequency, they could override natural brainwaves, inducing sleep, paranoia, aggression, even obedience. According to some reports, the psychotronic generator could be tuned to force a subject into a suggestible state where their thoughts were no longer entirely their own.
Right, because nothing says unstoppable superweapon like turning someone into a glorified zombie.
Maybe, but think about it. If you could force an enemy general to feel irrational fear or make a political leader fall into an altered state during negotiations, that's not a zombie. That's a checkmate. The US took this seriously enough to launch their own research into psychotronic weapons, which means, at the very least, they believed it was possible. There were three key methods the Soviets allegedly tested. Number one, direct brainwave manipulation emitting ELF waves to alter mood, consciousness, or mental state. Real-world parallel? The US military has studied non-lethal crowd control weapons that use similar frequencies. Number two, synthetic telepathy using electromagnetic waves to implant thoughts or voices into a target's mind. Real-world parallel? The U.S. DARPA program explores brain-computer interfaces that can transmit thoughts as text. Number three, remote behavioral influence inducing stress, anxiety, or paranoia in a target. Real-world parallel? Microwave weapons have been used to cause disorientation and discomfort in protest control.
Yeah, right. And let me guess, the Soviets were also working on a device that let you order pizza with your mind. Because if this worked, we'd all be living in a Soviet dystopia right now.
That's where things get complicated. Because while this sounds insane, there are real documented cases of electromagnetic manipulation affecting human behavior. In controlled experiments, certain frequencies have been shown to cause people to hear voices that aren't there. In fact, in the 1960s, US scientist Alan Frey discovered that microwave pulses could directly stimulate the auditory nerves, making people hear radio transmissions inside their heads. This was called the Frey effect. The US military later patented devices based on this concept. In other words, the tech exists. Here's where the trail goes cold. The Soviet Union collapsed before we ever got definitive proof. The CIA never found a working device. No whistleblower ever produced physical evidence. And to this day, the existence of the psychotronic generator remains unconfirmed. But if this research was real, if it worked at even a fraction of what was claimed, where did it go? What if I told you the Soviet Union may have tested the psychotronic generator on real people? Not in a lab, not in controlled experiments, but out in the world, on civilians, diplomats, even high-ranking officials. Because history has a disturbing pattern. When a government stumbles upon a dangerous new technology, they always test it on someone. For over two decades, American diplomats working in the U.S. Embassy in Moscow complained of migraines, dizziness, anxiety, and even hallucinations. Medical tests showed they had an unexplained neurological damage. Blood work revealed elevated white blood cell counts, consistent with radiation exposure. At first, officials thought it was stress. Then they checked for listening devices. That's when they found it, a directed energy source aimed directly at the embassy. For years, the Soviets had been bombarding the U.S. embassy with microwave radiation. But the strangest part? They weren't eavesdropping. They weren't jamming communications. They were experimenting.
Not only were they spying, but they decided to slow cook the diplomats like rotisserie chickens. Real classy.
That's the terrifying part. No one knows what they were actually testing. Some believe it was an early psychotronic experiment. Others think it was designed to make the diplomats paranoid, emotionally unstable, without them realizing they were being attacked. Either way, the US government was terrified, because if this was just a test, what else were they capable of? In the 1970s, rumors surfaced of a secret Soviet lab in Novosibirsk, Siberia, where human test subjects were allegedly exposed to psychotronic frequencies. Prisoners, political dissidents, even Soviet soldiers who had volunteered for classified research. The reports are chilling.
I heard a voice in my head. Oh, it wasn't mine. They told me to stand. I stood. They told me to walk. Well, I walked. I didn't want to, but I couldn't stop myself. So I saw others. Some were crying, begging to be released. Others sat perfectly still, eyes blank, breathing slow, as if they were no longer there.
I mean, call me old-fashioned, but I think I prefer the days when war crimes at least involved something normal. Like, I don't know, bullets?
Oh, don't worry. They had those too. But psychological warfare? That's the future. Because if you can control someone's mind, you don't need bullets. The experiment allegedly continued for years. Some subjects became catatonic. Others were released back into the population. Were they tested subjects or walking weapons? Then, in 1976, shortwave radio operators started picking up mysterious signals. A loud, rapid knocking sound pulsing at 10 hertz. It became known as the Russian woodpecker. No one knew what it was. The signal was too strong, too structured to be random noise. And here's where it gets even weirder. The frequency? 10 hertz. The same frequency range as human brainwaves. At first, people assumed there was Soviet radar interference. But some researchers began to suspect something else. What if this was a test? A global experiment in low-frequency brainwave influence. Was the Soviet Union broadcasting psychotronic signals on a global scale? Let's take a step back. We've explored the terrifying possibilities of the Soviet psychotronic generator, mind control, synthetic telepathy, human experiments. But now, we have to ask the most important question. Was any of it real? Or was this just another Cold War paranoia-fueled legend? First, let's start with what we know is true. Number one, the Moscow signal happened. The U.S. Embassy was bombarded with microwave radiation for over two decades. Diplomats did suffer neurological effects, memory loss, and paranoia. The U.S. government investigated it under Project Pandora, but never confirmed the intent behind it. Number two, Soviet ELF wave research was real. Declassified Soviet documents confirm experiments on brainwave experiments, bioelectric manipulation, and electromagnetic field effects on cognition. The Soviets funded at least 20 classified labs studying these phenomena. The U.S. also took this research seriously, creating counter programs to explore similar possibilities. Number three, the Frey effect and microwave auditory phenomenon exist. Scientists have shown that electromagnetic frequencies can create the sensation of hearing voices or sounds in the human brain. The U.S. holds patents for devices that beam sound directly into people's heads using microwave technology. This means that synthetic telepathy is theoretically possible.
Right. So what we've confirmed so far is that governments have been cooking people with microwave beams for decades, and everyone just went along with it. Great. Love that for us.
Yeah, it's not exactly comforting, but let's move on. Now, let's discuss what we can't prove. Number one, no confirmed psychotronic generator device exists. There is no physical proof that the actual Soviet device was ever operational. No whistleblower has ever produced one. No documents prove it was deployed on a large scale. Number two, no verifiable mind-controlled subjects. There are no confirmed cases of someone being mentally hijacked through psychotronic technology. While people have claimed to hear voices, feel paranoia, or lose control, there's no evidence linking it directly to Soviet experiments. 3. The Russian woodpecker was likely just over the horizon radar. The infamous woodpecker signal that pulsed at brainwave frequencies? Most experts agree it was a Soviet early warning radar system, not a mind control test. And finally, what's outright false? Number one, the Soviets did not create mind-controlled super soldiers. The idea that entire Soviet battalions were under mind control, totally fiction. While they experimented with altering cognition and behavior there's no proof they created full obedience through electromagnetic fields. Number two, no documented case of an instant kill mind control command. The idea that a scientist could simply think a command and force someone to shoot themselves, not a single declassified document supports this. It's a terrifying concept, but right now, it belongs in sci-fi, not history.
So, no psychic Soviet assassins? No KGB brainwaves of doom? Well, there goes my weekend.
I mean, not officially, but that brings us to the final question. We have to ask ourselves, did the research really end? The Soviet Union collapsed in 1991. Their classified research vanished. But did it really stop? Because in the decades since, governments all over the world have continued to experiment with cognitive warfare. In 2020, a NATO report described cognitive warfare as the next battlefield. DARPA, America's most secretive defense research agency, is actively developing brain-machine interfaces, non-lethal directed energy weapons, and remote influence technologies.
I'm sorry, but are we just casually dropping the fact that brain warfare is now a thing? Like, is that just normal news now?
I wish I were making this up, but it's happening. The psychotronic generator may not have been real in the way we imagine, but the dream of controlling the human mind? That never died. And that's what should really scare us. For decades, we laughed at the idea of mind control. We called it science fiction, a Cold War fantasy. But tell me this, if the Soviets never perfected psychotronic technology, then why did the research never stop? Why did the US military and NATO continue developing neurocognitive influence programs? Why did intelligence agencies fund research into remote behavioral modification, subliminal influence, and perception management? The terrifying truth is, the psychotronic generator was never a machine. It was never some box of wires hidden in a Soviet lab. The real weapon was never hardware. It was a system. A system that could be refined, digitized, perfected, and deployed invisibly. Because now, the battlefield isn't in Cold War laboratories. It's in your hands. You don't need electrodes glued to your head when you'll willingly expose your mind every single day. You don't need a Soviet scientist tuning your brainwaves when an algorithm already knows exactly how to manipulate you. You don't need the KGB forcing thoughts into your skull when you've been conditioned to accept ideas without ever questioning where they came from. They don't need a machine to control you when you've already given them access to your mind. Tesla once said, "If you want to understand the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration." But maybe we should have asked, who else was thinking that? Because now, in the year 2025, they've mastered the frequency. They know exactly what signal to send, what words to use, what images to show you, what tone, what pattern, what rhythm will bypass your defenses and sink into your subconscious before you even realize it. They have every tool they need to shape your thoughts, your emotions, your reality. And the scariest part? You probably still don't believe it's happening. That's the beauty of a perfected mind control system. The perfect form of psychotronic warfare is one where the subject never even realizes they were part of the experiment. Thanks for watching. I'm Ralph, that's Wendell, who's still salty about humanity, and this has been Divergent Files. If you laughed, learned something, or just didn't totally hate this, hit like, subscribe, and all the buttons down there that appease the almighty algorithm masters. Because boy, they haven't been nice to channels like ours. Wanna go deeper? Here's the deal. YouTube doesn't cover anything. No sponsors, no corporate backing, just us making this happen with your support. If you want more deep dives, wilder topics, And to help keep this channel alive, join our crew for as little as $3 a month. You'll get behind-the-scenes chaos, early access, and extended episodes, stuff too wild for this main channel. Head over to patreon.com/divergentfiles. Oh, and we're not just a YouTube channel anymore. Divergent Files Project Podcast is now live wherever you listen to podcasts. Extended episodes, unfiltered content, and deep dives into the stuff YouTube would probably freak out over. Seriously, if you think we push boundaries over here, wait until you hear what we unleash over there. Here's the deal. You're not just an audience. You're the lifeblood of this channel. Your curiosity, your wild theories, your random comments, they keep this thing alive. So if you have an idea for a video, drop it below. I read them all and your idea might be next. The world is strange. The stories, even crazier. And we're just here trying to make sense of it all. Thanks for showing up, sticking around, and being part of this wild experiment. Until next time, stay curious, stay kind, and remember, you are truly appreciated.
Do you ever feel like something's off? Like there's a shadow just outside the light. They feed you answers, keep you numb. But the questions, man, they don't sleep at night. Turn the dial, crack the code. What if the stories were never just stories? What if the ghosts, the whispers, the things that you dream aren't echoes but memories? We ain't here to play. Static calling from the past. Footsteps in an empty room. And a name you don't remember whispered in a voice you never knew. Flip the page, break the lock. What if the past ain't the past at all? What if we're seeing the future? Just don't recognize the call. We ain't here to play it safe. We ain't here to close our eyes. Ralph's got the map, Wendell's got the match. So tell me, how deep will you dive? Like the past is reaching through the static, trying to remind you before we all go down.